There are many facets of the Christian life, and many of them fill us with joy and peace and contentment in our relationship with our glorious Savior. God is a God of grace and blessing to those who know Him and follow after His Son, Jesus Christ. The Christian life is also a struggle. We daily struggle against our sin and the appetites of the flesh. The Apostle Peter exhorts us, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" The Apostle Paul and James and Peter all teach us that our fleshly passions are at war with our souls. We need to recognize the spiritual war that every Christian faces. How can we effectively do battle in this war against the flesh and the devil? We'll learn some key principles in our text for today. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauchus preaches from the New Testament book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. His message is titled, "Walk by the Spirit, not the desires of the flesh." Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 as we together delight in the Word.
Let's open our Bibles together to the book of Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians 5. I'll be preaching from 16 through 21, but I want to begin reading in verse 13 so that you catch a bit more of the context and pick up kind of where we left off last week. Galatians 5:13. "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. I still remember the gray-bearded guest speaker who first spoke that sentence in a Bible college chapel service in the late 1980s. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. If you think the Christian life is a playground, then you'll never get serious about holiness. You'll never get serious about killing your sin. You'll never really push yourself. Instead, you'll just flit around here and there. Over time, you might make a little progress toward growing up in Christ, but you'll always find yourself gravitating back to the kiddie jungle gym where life is easy and there are no challenges. But every true Christ follower knows firsthand that there is something more to the Christian life. There is something more to fighting the good fight of faith. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. There's a struggle, always a struggle, between sin and righteousness. Yes, the struggle between good and evil can exist in an unbeliever to some extent,
unless their conscience has been so seared by repetitive sin that they no longer feel even a tinge of guilt or a longing to change. But the believer in Jesus, on the other hand, is more aware of the struggle because he has the Holy Spirit living within him. Here's where remembering the Spirit's first name is helpful. The Holy Spirit is holy. He is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. Therefore, he grieves when we sin. He longs to empower us to overcome sin so that we may be transformed into the image of Christ. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. Since we are in a war, the world, the flesh, and the devil are always working against the Spirit's agenda. And therefore, we must get serious. We must get serious about sanctification, overcoming sin, and becoming like Christ. But we cannot do it without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Galatians 5:16, the apostle directs every believer to live under the influence and by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, not the desires of the sinful flesh. He gives two reasons. But first, I want you to see the command in verse 16. We'll get to the reasons in a moment. He begins with a word of contrast, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The word walk is an imperative in the original language. That is, this is a command. But why the word but at the very beginning of verse 16? Why not just start the verse with walk by the Spirit? Well, the reason is because of the context. He's drawing a contrast between what we saw last week and what we are seeing today. You may remember from last Sunday that in the previous verses, the apostle contrasts the flesh with love. That is, love is a higher principle than liberty. Look at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The libertine, that is, the person who uses freedom in Christ as an excuse to keep on sinning, does not experience the same inner struggle that the true believer does. Why? Because he just keeps doing what his natural flesh wants him to do. There's not going to be a whole lot of opposition. But the Spirit-controlled believer walks differently. The word walk there in verse 16 refers to our pattern of life or conduct. It's used that way consistently throughout all of Scripture. Just one Old Testament example is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who conducts his life not according to the counsel of the ungodly. That's the point. Or you look at Ephesians chapter 4, where we are called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That means to conduct our lives in such a way that Christ is glorified. William MacDonald describes the word walk this way. To walk in or by the Spirit is to allow him to have his way. It is to remain in communion with him. It is to make decisions in the light of his holiness. It is to be occupied with Christ, because the Spirit's ministry is to engage the believer with the Lord Jesus. When we thus walk in the Spirit, the flesh or the self-life is treated as dead. We cannot be occupied at the same time with Christ and with sin. That's a great sentence. Let me read it to you again. We cannot be occupied at the same time with Christ and with sin. I mean, think about it. Every time that we sin, we have taken our eyes off of Christ. I would add this, that to walk by the Spirit means to walk according to the ways of God that are revealed in His Word. And I get this by interpreting Scripture with Scripture. The command in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, parallels that which we find in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Both of these scriptures describe the kind of life that flows out of the heart that is filled with the Word of God. I've said it before. The Holy Spirit's ministry is married to Scripture. It is married to the Word of God. This is not putting God in a box, as some might accuse. This is simply acknowledging that the Spirit's own sovereign choice is to work alongside and through the Word of God. That's why we're even called in 1 John 4 to test the spirits, to test everything that is even pretends to be spiritual by the Word of God. Does it match up with what the Holy Spirit has revealed? See, Scripture is the living Word of God. The Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Word of God, never against the Word of God, never. To do so would be to lie against the very Word that He inspired. So, all of that is to say that we as believers are commanded by God to walk by the Spirit, to live under the influence of the Spirit, to be empowered by the Spirit. He now gives two reasons. The first reason, to live under the governance of the Spirit, not the desires of the flesh, is that you are a soldier in a spiritual war. You are a soldier. You need to understand who you are. You are a soldier in a spiritual war. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. One commentator says that phrase, opposed to each other, indicates the intensity of a lifelong tug of war. That's why we feel this tension within us. We don't want to sin, but then we sin, and then we grieve because we sinned, and so we repent, and we move on with Christ, and then we sin, and we grieve when we sin, and then we repent. And there is this lifelong tug of war going on, where the Spirit is against the desires of the flesh, and the flesh is against the desires of the Spirit. That's what's going on. The flesh, our human flesh, sinful flesh, wants to keep us from doing the things that we want to do that are righteous, and the Holy Spirit is working to keep us from doing the things that we want to do that are sinful. And so there is this war going on. You are a soldier in a war. Then he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 18. Verse 18 at first glance kind of appears to be disconnected from the context, but we don't need to read something mysterious into this. But you are led by the Spirit is not some mysterious spiritual GPS. It's just another way of saying what he's been saying all along, that those who are free in Christ, those who are justified by grace through faith, apart from the works of the law, are adopted by God and are in right standing with God and in a new position with God, not based upon the law. We have the Holy Spirit, just as it says in Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's what Paul's saying here. Same thing. It's not some mysterious leading of the Spirit. It's simply saying that the Spirit of God has been given to those who know Christ, and the Spirit of God is at war with our sinful flesh, and He is leading and guiding us in this battle. He's the commander. We are being sanctified by the Spirit. He is to be the most controlling influence in our lives. Too often our flesh controls us. We let the stubbornness of our hearts or the stiffness of our necks control us, and we refuse to submit to what Scripture says. And when we do that, it's not just Scripture that we are refusing to submit to. We're actually refusing to submit to the Holy Spirit that we claim lives within us. So what is Paul doing here? He's making a point. The point is that the war is spiritual. And since the war is spiritual, the weapons have to be spiritual. As he says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The battle is with the flesh, but it's not a fleshly battle. It's a spiritual battle. Winning the spiritual war against the flesh cannot be won in our own strength. And in the context here, he's also saying it cannot be won by legalism. He's been making that point clear to us, that the law is not only powerless to save us, but it's powerless to defeat the enemy of sin. There is a deeper problem. There is a more serious problem than our inability to keep the law. The war must be fought on the right front, which is your mind and your heart. You must do battle with your sin at the level of your heart's desires. That's what he's saying. Look at how many times desires is used there in verses 16 and 17. That we will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. This is where the battle is. The battle is not in your environment. The battle is in your heart, at the level of your desires. Now, Paul's emphasis is upon the enemy of the flesh. That's clear. But the warfare language in this scripture reminds us of another enemy, the devil himself, who delights to energize our flesh. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. This is a spiritual war, and it's important for us to remember that the enemy, the chief enemy, is also intertwined in all of this. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So clearly again, Paul's saying, your strength is not in yourself. You try and fight this spiritual war in your own power and with your own resources, you are going to fail every time. So be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He's talking about the invisible, evil, supernatural world of the devil and all of his demons. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. All of these pieces of armor, if you want to call it that, though they're not really pieces, it's all a unit, come to us through Christ. In fact, a book I recently read by David Paulison, his final book before he died last June, is on spiritual warfare. And he shows how every single one of these pieces of armor is actually predicted in the Old Testament as being part of the armor of Christ when he comes as the warrior and conquers sin and conquers the devil. So when Paul is saying put on this armor, he's really saying put on Christ. Put on all that you are in Christ. Christ can fight your battles. You can't. You have no power to fight against Satan. But Christ does. Christ has already defeated him at the cross and through his resurrection. So the whole point here is that the spiritual war that every Christ follower is enlisted in cannot be won in our own strength. Our enemy is far too powerful. Only the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, can equip us to walk in such a way that we do not fall prey to the devil's lies. So if you are not filling your mind with the Word of God, then the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to have a heyday in your life. The desires of the flesh are going to run roughshod over your puny affection for God. That's what he's saying. The spiritual war that you and I are involved in cannot be won by puny affections for God. We must get serious. We must get serious about putting sin to death. We cannot play around at the edge of the cliff and then wonder why we fall. In Mark 9, Jesus uses really strong language to get this point across. He says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The Christian life is not a playground. It is a battlefield. To walk by the Spirit, not the desires of the flesh, you must see yourself as a soldier in the most serious conflict that exists in the universe.
We cannot win a war we don't know we're in. Far too many Christians either don't know they're in a war against the world, the flesh, and the devil, or they have just given up and given in and reap the discouraging consequences day to day. But there is always hope in Jesus Christ. If you are a born-again Christian in Christ, you have the gracious, enabling power of the Holy Spirit to help you to say no to the flesh and to put on righteousness. And the Word of God is filled with life-giving truth to point you to Christ and to give you strength when your flesh is weak. Walk by the Spirit, Paul says, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you'd like to listen again or download this message, you can find it on our website at delightintheword.org. You can also find the program on most podcast platforms. On our website, you'll also find a number of books, blog posts, and other resources written by Pastor Paul and others that will encourage you as you walk with Christ and minister to others. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We'll pick up part two of this message next time as we together delight in the Word.